Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Blog Talk at Midnight. I am your host, the tardy host tonight, Bunta Sasquatch. Thank you for joining me on this chilly evening where I am. But maybe it's a little warmer where you are. Or perhaps you enjoy chilly evenings, in which case, exactly what you're liking. And that's fine. Thank you for joining me tonight on Mud Toe at Midnight. This is your host, Mud Toe Sasquatch. I think I may have just said that, but sometimes I forget things as soon as I do them. But now I know I said it. And you join me on my show on the With Insights channel of Blog Talk Radio. We have a couple of other shows in our With Insights family. Iggy and Rosa do their intuitive readings Mondays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And there's the Inner Voice Intuitive Hour with Jenny Seek on Tuesdays at 7. And the Entrepreneurial Excellence Show with Heather Tapia on Wednesdays at 3 p.m. And then there's me, Mud Toe Sasquatch, on Mud Toe at Midnight. Fridays at midnight, or Saturdays at midnight, depending on how you look at it. I look at it as Fridays. But the computer looks at it as Saturdays, because when I go back to find my archived shows, it's always listed as a Saturday morning at 12 a.m. So maybe you look at it that way. I don't know. But it's midnight. It's midnight on Friday going away, Saturday coming in. That's how you find me, midnight Eastern time. Thanks once more for tuning in. I'm going to be a little scattered tonight. I apologize for that in advance. Again, I did get a late start. I was driving home from my second job, which now is my first job. So let's just jump right into it. The big news of the day is that my full-time job is no more. And I'll just talk a little bit about how that came about. First of all, just to get you up to speed if you haven't listened to the program in the last few weeks. I had started 3 weeks ago. I started a full-time position with a company that transported school children, special needs school children, from home to school and then back, or to wherever it was they were going. My education background helped me get that job, as well as my background in training people at Ohio State. They wanted someone first to be a trainer, actually a backup trainer to their operations manager, who did all of the training, but wanted to give some of that to someone else, so that she would have time for other things. And then there were other projects. She said that she was ready to hand over to me once I finished my training and getting acclimated. Now, one requirement that this company had was that everybody who worked for the company from the owner on down has to be certified to drive a car, to drive kids to and from school, because you never know when you're going to be needed to pull that kind of duty. So obviously it wasn't the primary focus of the job I was going to be doing, but it was there, and it's something I was going to have to do. You have to get a certification before you can drive school kids, and part of it is you have to pass a physical, and you have to pass a driving test, and you have to pass a written test. Now, the written test I had absolutely no problem with. I missed one question, and I actually dispute the question that I missed, but I'm sort of beyond that eighth grade need to turn my 99 into 100. The minimum passing score was 80. I had more than 80, therefore there was no need to discuss the matter any further. Now, two Fridays ago was the first Friday that I had this job. I was sent for my physical, and they gave me, again, this was an element not of the job, but of the certification, the certificate from the state I had to get to be able to drive kids to school. And they call it a bus driver certificate, even though I wasn't going to drive a bus. And they gave me an eye test, and they gave me a hearing test, and I had to do a drug screen. And as far as I know, there weren't any problems with those. I didn't hear about it anyway, or maybe perhaps they never processed it after what happened next. Well, the last part of it was I have to give a detailed medical history. And, you know, I wasn't thinking anything of this. I wasn't thinking of this in terms of something that was endangering my job. I wanted to be honest. So when he asked me if I had, you know, he's going through this list, if you have a history taken, they just have a list of things they ask you. Have you read this? Have you ever had that? And they came to diabetes, and, you know, I don't consider myself to be a person with diabetes because lifestyle changes, diet and exercise and medication, my glucose level is now in the normal range. It's at the high end of the normal range, but it's in the normal range. And, you know, it's diabetes type 2. I don't have the sort of problem with spiking that someone who is, I guess you can have spiking with type 2. I've never had a problem with spiking, let's put it that way. I'm getting ahead of myself, though. They asked me, I mean, they're going down this list, and they said diabetes, and I said, yes, I have, you know, diabetes type 2. It's controlled with, you know, diet and medication. And usually when that question is asked, and I give that answer, that's the end of it, you know. But this doctor said, oh, I don't know. You know, I'm like, you don't know. What is it that you don't know? And he goes on to the next, you know, a couple more questions down. And I'm not sure I even remember what the question was. It may just have been, you know, any other medications that I'm taking. And I said, yeah, I take lithium for a mood disorder. And he didn't like that answer either. And this is when I was starting to get concerned. I mean, this sort of slam dunk physical that I was taking was a rather alarming turn that it had taken. But he said, kind of in a I don't want to say suspicious way, but he wanted me to have my regular physician write a letter saying that the, you know, the conditions I had wouldn't affect, you know, my ability to drive a car. And, you know, my doctor's cool like that. So I said, yeah, sure, I can have him do that. And then he keeps going on his list, and then he asks me if there's, you know, if I have any history of alcoholism or drug abuse. And folks, I should have just lied. Can I tell you, I should have just lied. I should have just said no. Because I always see this guy. I don't think he was gunning for me personally. But it is, well, I'll talk about that in a bit too. He asked me about the alcoholism. It was on the tip. I was thinking, no, don't tell him, don't tell him. But I told him. I told him, you know, yeah, I'm a recovering alcoholic. And he said, well, that's an automatic disqualification. And I'm like, what the hell? I didn't even know there was this. I was facing anything that had an automatic disqualification involved. So I went back. I already started working this job. I went back to my office. I told my boss what had happened. You know, I had to share with my boss that I was a recovering alcoholic. I didn't want to do that, but I had to anyway. And I had to share with the HR manager too. And they went to work on it and said they were going to take care of it. So if you put it out of your mind, because you see, I'm very concerned about this. You know, I don't want to lose this job. I'm very excited about it. They said, don't worry about it. They said, we have way too much for you to be doing for this to stand in the way. He said, ironically. I don't even think that's ironic. What is it? But anyway, and looking back on it, it's kind of just makes me kind of chuckle a little bit. So now we jump ahead to last Friday, 1 week ago. It seems like Fridays are very bad days for me. But if I just worked Monday through Thursday at this job, I would have been okay. But last Friday was the driving test. Oh, and I have to admit, this was on me. I fouled the thing up. And, you know, there was a guy sitting next to me with a clipboard, and it freaked me out. And, you know, we came to the first light, and I got too far out in the intersection, and the light went yellow. And if it was me, I would have just hit the gas and gone through the intersection. But I didn't know what this guy put beside me. I didn't know what the clipboard wanted from me. So I ended up getting stuck in the intersection in the middle of this, you know, driving test. And then later on, the test happened again. And later on in the test, I didn't know I was in a 25 zone, so he wrote me up for that. And then, of course, you know, if you're driving, I don't know what it is in your state, in our state, if you're driving school kids in your vehicle and you come to a railroad track, you have to stop. Now, and I stopped. I stopped stopped where I was supposed to stop. There's a white line there that's supposed to be your safe distance line from the railroad track. Now, if a train jumps the track, you know, you're going to have to be a little bit more than 4 feet away from the tracks to be safe. You know, I never really understood what that white line, I guess maybe it's so you don't get so close that if you don't see the train, and I know how you don't see a train coming or don't hear it, but that you won't get your car hit by an onrushing train. But I mean, if a train jumping the tracks is not, that's not going to get you out of the way. But anyway, you're supposed to stop behind that line and come to a complete stop, put your car in park. I got all of that. Then you're also supposed to have your blinkers on during all that. And I swear, during the class we took, I had a two-day class we took before we did this, that they said, don't turn your blinkers on. So I didn't. And so I got marked off for that. So make a long story short, too late. I flunked the driver's test, and the guy didn't tell me. I thought it was just over, and but he didn't, you know, say to me with any sort of, he had any sort of concern with the result. He didn't share it with me, which that sucks. You know, you're just not. Well, anyway, I'm going to say it. He should have told me. I'm not, you know, just some. How can I say this? I feel very offended that he didn't tell me. That he just handed the results over to my boss and didn't say to me that I was in trouble. I would like to have known I was in trouble. I would like to, and this is what I told my boss today, I would have liked to have had a second chance at the test. I know that the decision's already been made, you don't have a chance to really argue these things. But then they told me today, you know, it was a combination of the elements of the physical and the test. They just didn't feel I was going to be able to be successful in getting the certificate, and they require everybody at their company to have the certificate. You know, it comes from the higher-ups, the family that owns the company. It used to be a driver's ed company before it morphed into this transportation thing, and they're very big on having everybody in the company certificated so that they can do that part of the job if need be. Now, I think, you know, first of all, I'm just going to say it. They went back on their word. I was told that it could be taken care of. You know, and I'm going to start sounding whiny when I say this, but you know, I expressed my concerns. You know, I think, you know, what do I need to be doing to make this right? And they said, don't worry about it. Don't be concerned. We're going to fix this. And then I come in and, well, we're not going to fix it. You're out of work. That kind of bothers me a bit. You know, if it was a problem, and I know, as I think, why couldn't they have told me if this was sort of going back to the physical part of it, if this is me, you know, automatic disqualification, and the driving part of it too. I mean, nobody went over to get one shot at this and that's it, and these are, stop ranting. Because, well, let me share this part with you. If you read my blog on mudtosasquatch.com, you've already heard this part. I didn't talk at all about anything. I just talked about, you know, how and why I lost the job. I didn't talk about that at all. What I talked about was this experience of taking, you know, I went in at 8 o'clock in the morning, 8 o'clock this morning. Just 16 hours ago, I was still an employed person. Seems like a lot longer than that. Anyway, at 8 a.m. I went in. I took my first phone call of the day. And then they called me back into the office and told me I was being let go. By about 20 after 8, I was in the parking lot of the bank with my last paycheck, waiting for the bank to open because it didn't open until 9. And just trying to process, you know, all these emotions that were going through my head. And by the time, you know, the bank did open, what I found was that I felt okay about it. I don't feel okay about what happened. I don't feel okay about how I got fired, about why I lost the job. That sucks. But I'm not at all broken up about not having to go there anymore. It's not that it was a terrible place. I know I was doing, there were elements of the job I didn't like. One of them was the actual driving part of it. I don't really, driving a car isn't something, I like it when I'm sort of out on the highway by myself and there's nobody bothering me. You know, in city driving, street to street, I don't care for it. I'd rather just get in the cab or get in the bus. But, you know, I was prepared to put up with a certain percentage of it, and I was prepared to put up a certain percentage of answering their phones. And I hate being on the phone, to be able to do the other things they promised me I was going to be able to do, which, you know, may have eventually happened, or maybe not. You know, I was going to be doing a lot of training, is what I was told, and there were other projects my boss had for me to work on. And, you know, maybe that was actually going to happen, and maybe it wasn't. But tell you what, you know, what I was doing there was a lot of phone answering and a lot of filing. I don't mind filing, but phone answering gets on my nerves. The other part of it, of course, was getting up at 6:30 in the morning so I could be there by 8 and making that long drive and putting all that gas in the car, and gas is going into another spike. So, you know, I don't feel too bad about the fact that I'm not going to be going there on Monday. I can live with that. I think, and then the rest of the note I wrote today was about the messages from spirit. And, you know, this all got sabotaged. It all got messed up. Maybe this is my message, that this isn't what I was supposed to be doing anyway. There are other directions I need to be moving in. Because here, what happened was, you know, I think, well, I can take this full-time job, and, you know, I can still do this, you know, part-time theater job I've just gotten, and I'll still have time for my writing as well. Well, the first thing that went by the wayside was the writing. I didn't do any writing at all of any consequence. I think I got a couple blog entries done. I missed my Tuesday blog entry. But as far as the writing on the bigger projects, not a thing in the 3 weeks that I was working for it. Writing out. I couldn't do my walk to, you know, walk on the bike trail to the wetlands that I like to do. It sort of clears my head, and I feel like I'm in touch with the ancestors and in touch with spirit. A lot of times cold weather prevents me from doing that, and ice and snow prevent me from doing that, but we haven't had, weather hasn't been a factor here lately. It's just I haven't been able to do it. I've been at work, and by the time I got home, it's like 7, 8 o'clock, and it's dark out, and I don't want to be walking on that trail in the dark. I know that the Sky Father protects me, but I don't want to tempt fate. I don't want to push it, you know. Sometimes you have to make a smart choice. Not just say, well, you know, spirit will protect me. Maybe they're waiting to see what you're going to do. But, you know, maybe this is spirit's way of telling me that I do finally have to make a commitment that I'm going to be a writer, and I'm going to be a writer first, and that I'm going to let other things take care of themselves. And that's a scary position to be in. It's scary. I'm being called on to let go of values that I have been taught from my earliest days on this earth by my parents, who taught me to more or less subsume my individuality to the whatever entity it was that was paying for me to live. And that, you know, I would serve my sentence, my 40-some year sentence. And then when you were 65, for me 67, then you retire. There's an old, there's a ventriloquist who used to do Nestle's commercials. Jimmy Nelson. I'm not sure if that's his name, but he used to do Nestle's foot commercials, and I had an album of his from when I was a kid, like, I don't know, 8, 9 years old, maybe younger. I think it came with this. You got a ventriloquist dummy, and then this album. Oh, no, that was something my cousin had. That was an instructional album. This is a comedy album, you know, the ventriloquist and his dummy doing jokes. And Danny O'Day was his main doll. And he says, Danny, you don't have a job. And Danny says, no. He says, well, you ought to go out and get a job, you know, work, save a bunch of money, retire. He says, then you won't have to work anymore. And Danny says, I'm not working now. And that was, as you know, sort of an interesting attack on that. I don't think that's all it was intended. It was just a funny joke. But where was I going with that? Oh, it's just the idea that there's a certain way to do things. I've been lectured on this by my parents many, many times. You know, you don't like it. It doesn't matter if you don't like it. You just have to do it. It's something you have to do to make a living. And I believe that. And my New Age friends would say I've manifested that. That what I believe is what I manifest, and that's what I see around me is the evidence of this belief that I am sort of the creature of these people who have a lot of money and who need a lot of creatures. And that's what I think I referred to earlier was I think with some work, they probably could have made this happen. Powers that be, with they put a little work into this, they could probably have gotten me the second driving test, have gotten me maybe a second physical with a different doctor, got me some coaching on what I should actually say to him, or, you know, got some, some, you know, what's the interpretation, you know, why what would be a proper grounds for disqualifying someone? I mean, is it just cut and dried? If you're alcoholic, you're disqualified. You know, there are probably things that could be done if the company was interested in pursuing it. I think that for all their talk of how much they wanted me there and how much, you know, how valuable I was to, you know, how well I fit into their future plan, it just wasn't worth the hassle to them to try and get me this certificate. Now, there are plenty of unemployed people out there. They can go in, and I'm sure a lot of them aren't diabetics and aren't alcoholics. And don't take crazy people pills. They could go and find one of those people and not have a hassle, you know? So it's just, you know, one's just as good as another. There's no, if there is, you know, a difference in, you know, values of people, if you're the one, that's what makes me so sad. Is I felt, well, first of all, I felt very, very grateful to hear from them. You know, you are the person that we want. It's very gratifying to hear. And now, 3 weeks later, have that all taken back. And, you know, Bridget, my former boss, says, well, we're not, you know, I didn't put it that way, I didn't ask her that, but she's saying, no, we love your work, we want to have you here, it's just this physical. And, you know, my thought was, well, if it's just the physical, fix it. You know, let's find a way to do this. You know, I'm not talking about cheating, I'm not talking about falsifying things, it's fine, there's always a way. There's always a way to work around it. They just didn't want to take the time to do it, didn't want to take the effort to do it. It's easier to just find somebody else. So, you know, one finds out what one's value is in an organization when trouble comes. My father found out, you know, when he had a heart attack, he found out how valued he was by the organization where he was working, and they got rid of him. And, you know, if you stay in any long organization long enough, you're going to find at what level they value you, which is not much. Once it's, you know, a bigger problem to keep you than to let you go, they're just going to let you go. And that's the way it is. That's the value of our capitalist society. It's something that we ought to change. I think it's something we could change. I think it's the way we change it is that good people just don't participate anymore. And that's what I need to manifest. I need to manifest a way to make my living as a writer, a writer, for my words there, make my living as a writer, a philosopher, a purveyor of words, and not be dependent upon wages. Easier said than done. Some people say, but it's my energy friends, my New Age friends. I mean, no, it's just a matter of manifesting it, of changing my outlook, of believing that it's going to happen. I'll tell you who's not going to believe it's going to happen. It's going to be my parents, particularly my mother. And, you know, I'm at 48 years old, worried about a confrontation with my mother over this. I posted this on Facebook, and one of my cousins saw it. And I sort of thought she would rat me out by now and that I wouldn't have to tell my mother. But But it looks like that's not going to be the case. I haven't heard anything from my mom, so it looks like I'm going to have to call her tomorrow and tell her what's going on. Boy, my time just flew by. I hope that doesn't just mean that I had such a late start that I only have half a show. I thought my start was only a couple of minutes late. But I thank you for listening to me, and I thank you for your patience. It's all going to be good. Mudtow is fine. I'm upset about the way things came down, but I'm not particularly upset about the outcome. I am a little bit interested in how I am going to make my living from here on out, but I believe an opportunity will present itself. So keep tuning in on Friday nights to hear how it's going. Thank you for listening. This is Mudtow Sasquatch signing off.